everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I keep waiting for Kelly to say.
Tracy, would you mind doing the roll call?
Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Freckleton.
Here.
Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Quietek.
Here.
Trustee Lloyd.
Here.
Trustee Lubai.
Here.
Great. And any requests for public participation?
No requests.
Great. Thank you. With that, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Does anybody have an item they want to pull or discuss? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. Tom, you get into the information only one? The agreements?
Oh, agreements. Okay, yes. So on page 38 is just for information only, our agreements that we are entering into.
Okay. Over to you.
Okay. For my update, it's funny when we skip a month because I'm like, oh, wow, it's been that long since, you know, we met. So although I did communicate it with you all via email, just another shout out to the entire college community for a very successful SAC COC visit where, we went through the system and program and had zero findings or recommendations, which is almost unheard of. So kudos out to the group there. And I think, you know, as we are going to look to perhaps go to another accrediting agency, this certainly sets us up for an easy transition when that happens. We had a successful homecoming weekend, a lot of participation, so it was good to see all the students and staff out there participating. I've started my rounds. I've done a trip to Tallahassee already, and I'll be heading back next week again and talking to I did double duty last time. I went on behalf of the college system. They had asked me to meet with Chairman Leak to talk about some of the system priorities, which, one of them is to have the legislature consider our system to go on the state health care plan. So we had a good conversation with Chairman Leak on that, and the report, I think, just came out or will be coming out real soon on a study on what it would take financially for the state to absorb our system. We hope it comes out. Not only is it feasible that it may help, because there is a forecasted deficit in the current state health care plan, and we hope that our system with the volume, as well as I think as a system we are younger, and that tends in the health insurance business, that tends to help the actuarial numbers, that it'll look not only that they can do it, but favorable to taking us on in that health care system, which has great, it definitely would benefit our employees as the premiums are much less than what we currently have. So I did that, as well as took the opportunity to slide in a couple of Daytona State, projects while I was out there too. So then locally, I met with the Flagler County delegation and the Volusia County delegation to talk about our priorities, and they were well received. We had our foundation gala last week. And a terrific turnout, and continuing to raise money for Res Hall 2, and then we did a ribbon cutting. It's just been event after event. We did a ribbon cutting on Monday, I think it was, right? Kelly was there. Thank you for being there, Kelly. Gail Lemron had given FBH a gift to help with a program that we've actually moved from the elementary schools to our campus. So in collaboration with Volusia County Schools, I think we have voted on some items with that. And we did a ribbon cutting for Gail on Monday night. And it was good to recognize him. And then we had our Lemrons speaker series yesterday. So that was a great event, a packed house in the Sandy Center for the students with that. And then we had the Mets corporate came down to visit with us. They've been really pleased with how things have been going here, and they are looking at, they think we might have the need to expand some of our food service. So we brainstormed some ideas, and so that's something I'll probably follow closely with you on, you know, there's a couple options on where else we can open up additional food service. It gets pretty busy during lunchtime. That's our biggest pinch point, but good problem to have when you got a lot of students, you know, knocking at the door. And, you know, probably in your experience with working, if the food company's coming to you and saying they'd like to open up more, another location, that usually means they're doing really well. So, and then hot off the press, you'll probably see the press release, but I'll beat it to you, is our latest nursing statistics came out for the state licensure exam, and we passed at a 99.1% pass rate. So just continuing to do extremely well, and it's probably a 20-point difference on the state average.
Wow.
On how we perform. So you know, if you land one of our healthcare facilities, you'll be in good hands. Daytona State College nurses there. I certainly was grateful to experience that myself recently. But so good things. And then we're going to recognize. Tracy leaned over at me like, "You're not done yet." Lynn would have been like, "Stop." But we're going to recognize our lead academy, and we've introduced this group over time, different groups over time, and now headed by our new Director of Professional Development, Rachel Daugherty. So, Rachel, we'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Dr. Lozano. Good afternoon. My name is Rachel Daugherty. I'm the new Director at the Office of Professional Development. I came from a different position here as a grant project director. And so these are our current cohort of LEAD participants. LEAD does stand for Leadership, Exploration, and Development. And so we meet several times throughout the year. They take part in mentorship with some of our senior executive staff members, and they get to learn about all different aspects of leadership here at Daytona State College and just leadership in general. So I'll invite them just to briefly introduce themselves. So Gina, if you don't mind going first.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Gina Stafford, and I am the Associate Director for Academic Services and Academic Affairs. I serve as the Project Director for our Perkins Grant here, and I've been employed at Daytona State College for 28 years.
I'm Robert Williams, I'm one of the coordinators of the IT Help Desk.
Hello, my name is Michelle Emden. I am the project director for TRIO Talent Search, which serves 6th to 12th grade students in Flagler County Schools. And I have been with the college for 2 years in March.
Good afternoon, my name is Andy Deaton. I'm the director of the News Journal Center, and I've been with Daytona State since mid-February.
Good afternoon, my name is Nabil Youssef. I'm the interim chair for the School of Engineering and Technology. I've been in the college for 13 years.
I'm associate professor in the Allen School of Nursing, and I've been with the college for 11 years.
So thank you all very much. It's a pleasure to take just a few moments of your time.
Thank you. Okay. So I do have one other agenda item under my time, if I may, Mr. Chair. And thank you for coming. You know, the LEAD program has been around. It's kind of evolved over time. I had gone through that program probably 16, 17 years ago. And so you never know. Right? So with that said, I do have a approval of a naming right. This is for Jerry and Esther Kruger for the Wisdom in Senior Education program. If you had read it, they were instrumental in the founding of this program, and they were a dynamic duo. And shortly after Jerry passed away, Esther passed away shortly afterwards, and you know, they were truly married for gosh, I mean, it says it in there, and I memorized, but
76 years,
and they truly were impactful, and they have started a scholarship fund here at the college as well. So I think it's very deserving, and with that, I would need a motion.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And that concludes my report. Excellent.
We will move on to facilities. Marty?
Okay, good afternoon. Our first facilities item is the architectural and design services, the final rankings for the DeLand Campus Tactical Training Pavilion PT course and driving pad. This was a project that was funded by the legislature this past round. The two firms that were, you see them on the schedule here, Cape Design and Spiesel, were the two that submitted for the project. The top ranked was Spiesel Architectural Group, and our FPAC committee has reviewed these rankings, and we are asking for board approval to approve the rankings and enter into a contract negotiations, including the fee with that particular firm.
So moved. Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Next item is the Flagler Palm Coast Building 1 Amphitheater Improvements Project. This is approval for the contract itself for the architect that was selected. Last board meeting, you approved the top-ranked firms, with DLR Group being the top-ranked. We've now negotiated the contract, and as you can see, we are recommending approval of the contract not to exceed $376,000 for this particular project on our Palm Coast campus.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion and a second. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Sticking with the same Flagler Palm Coast project, CM at Risk Services for the contractor itself. These are the final rankings. It went out to 21 pre-qualified contractors, and we had three submit packages. The committee narrowed it down to the top two. And as you can see up there, DE Scorpio Corporation was the top-ranked firm per the committee. This also went to our FPAC committee for review, and we are seeking approval of the rankings of this particular group and to enter into negotiations for the contract and fee amounts.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you. And our last facilities item is the Architectural Design Services approval of final rankings on our Arts and Sciences Hall Building 330 renovation project here on the Daytona campus. We had three total firms that were ranked per our committee, and Hausman Architecture LLC was the top-ranked firm on this particular project. Again, FPAC has reviewed the rankings, and we are seeking approval to negotiate a fee and contract with Hausman.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion?
Yeah, how many people were sent that particular bid? Do you know?
Sent?
Well, or were offered.
So we send it, so we have the pre-approved list. It goes out to, I don't know how many that is, but.
Steve, do you have that off the top of your head on the continuing architects?
Firms, we advertise into the paper and the Orlando Sentinel, and we'll see responses back.
The three responses, yeah.
So just three responded to this one?
Just three, yeah.
The reason for the question is just, you mentioned the last one was 21, and you got three responses, and it just maybe concerns me a little bit that it's a little low. More people aren't engaged in the process, and if you have any feel for why that might be.
Well, the last one was contractors, so that was our pre-qualified contractors we have in the 20s, and so it went out to the 21 pre-qualified contractors, and we received the feedback. This is for the architect. A little different. We do have a continuing architects, but that's nowhere near the number of the those pre-qualified contractors.
Steve, it's just trying to make sure that the process is a little bit more competitive. That's all.
There's a there's also something we send it out that bid something.
Bidnet. And normally with the architectural firm, we don't send it out in Bidnet.
Just the contractors we do that?
Contractors, we pre-qualify.
Yeah, so the contractors goes out to 27, but that was, to your point, it was a low response. We noted it was a low response, and you would think it might be getting slower and people would be chomping at it, but apparently not.
It's a great point. I mean, maybe even you could just, you know, select five or six to call and just ask them that haven't responded in a while and just ask them if there's a particular reason or, you know, we'd love to see them get more involved. It can't hurt. I mean, the more bids you get, the sharper the pencil.
Yeah, I'm just, maybe it's the, is it the way we're bidding? Is it to your point, are they still just that busy and you can't take it on? You know, I don't know, but it just, three's a tough number to pick from.
Yeah, and that was odd because we've been getting flurries of them, but that was a low number on the contractor one, and the three. But I thought additional, not Bidnet, but I thought there was another something that we sent out for architectural stuff.
There's that's the Florida News Weekly that it goes out to. Also, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
And we just didn't get a lot of response.
But we certainly, we can make some calls and see what the low response was. And I don't know if there's another. If there's anything like a Bidnet that architects use, then we ought to be looking at that too.
Thank you.
Good question for the FPAC too, because they're in that business. They might know.
Absolutely. No, we'll take that back and ask around a bit. I will note, Randy, on the building 330. It's a renovation. It's not a new build or a real large project per se. So there might just be less interest as well. And, they're pretty busy these days with some other
Fair
work
enough.
Out there. So that could be part of it. Okay. Let's shift over to finance now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
Oh, yeah.
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Good catch.
All right. Screwed up the flow there.
Yeah. Glad
good,
you asked.
Good catch. Yep. Thank you. All right, so our financial report is through the October 31st, 2023. We're now exactly one-third of the way through the fiscal year. And with that, you'll see that we've collected now $11.9 million in tuition and fee revenue. That's 42% of our budget. $18 million, or 28% of our state revenues. $1.9 million, or 33% of our other revenue sources. And $2.4 million, 100% of our board-approved transfers. So in total, we've now collected 34.3, or 34% of our $101.5 million operational budget. Flipping over to expenses, operating expenses, the college has expended $20.5 million, or 27% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $15.4 million, or 65% of our current expense budget. Of that, $8.5 million is actual expenditures, and the remaining $6.9 million is encumbrances tied to open purchase orders. We've obligated $729,000 of our capital outlay budget, which is 26%, actual expenses of $551,000, and the remaining $178,000 of encumbrances. So in total, through October 31st, we've now obligated $36.6 million, or 36% of our total operational budget. If you back out the encumbrances and just focus on expenditures, that's the bottom piece. We've expended $29.5 million, or 29% of our operational budget. So, taking a snapshot again at our carry forward funds for our operating Fund 1 account, we started the year with just over $18.2 million of operating reserves. Of that, $5.5 million roughly of state-required reserve, the 5%. We had $1.6 million of board-designated reserves, unallocated reserves of about $10.2 million, and then the year-end encumbrances and other rollover funds of about $814,000. So as of October 31st, the date of this report, we're projecting a $9.5 million fund balance, about 18%. Tracy, it's moving on my screen, but not.
Mm.
wizard behind the curtain.
I was going to say, I'm over here thinking the same thing.
His name's Oz, Wizard of Oz.
I was going to say, where's Dorothy, but that's okay.
He's back there with a flashlight.
Something's wrong because the right around the screen's gone.
I think they have this in the packet. This presentation is in the packet.
Not the presentation. They got the.
The information.
Well, I guess you can. The board's okay with it to verbalize the rest of that. And
yeah, that works.
Everything you have to prove is also in front of you there, too. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Oh.
Oh. Oh, there we are.
Get that one out of here. Like you can hear the Jeopardy clock ticking. Philadelphia history for 1200.
Let's go ahead and continue. Yeah, I think we can.
You're losing the audience quickly. I just want you to know.
Apologize for that short broadcast interruption. Okay, we're moving over to the actual revenue received versus our budget. What the slide would show is we've received 34% of our budgeted revenues this year, and at the same time last year, also 34% of revenue received. So we've very consistent from a revenue collection standpoint. The next one is the three-year analysis and trend of our tuition and fee revenue. And to date, we've collected $11.9 million. Last year, we had collected $11.7 million. So it shows up a little bit. You know, my talking points were that you know, we had to cut off a bit early this month because the board meeting was so early in November, so we didn't even make it through full October. I think it was October 27th that we cut off and captured these numbers. So a few more days would have slid in and helped the current year revenue from a tuition and fee standpoint. Also, the timing of registration from year to year, semester to semester, also plays a role in this. So when I bring the report back in January, we'll get a better look at where fall landed compared to last fall and the prior years. But we know we landed around 2% in FTE for the fall, and what the report calculates to is about 1.4% all in if you do the math. So we'll move on. My next slide would have shown the comparison of actual expenses to budget. We've expended 27% of our personnel budget through October. Last year, at the same point in time, it was 28%. Current expense budget, we've obligated 65% versus 71% last year at the same point in time. And then our capital outlay budget, we're right at 26% this year versus 26% last year through October. So very consistent spending patterns year over year at this juncture. Okay, so moving away from the operating fund and into our capital project fund, Fund 7. We have our major funding sources in Fund 7. And then what I typically do is run the the synopsis of the more detailed slide. So we started with a fund balance of $62.4 million in our Fund 7 at the beginning of the year. Cash and appropriations received were just over $7 million. We've obligated $17.8 million of our in Fund 7. Of that, $12.6 million is expended. The other $5.2 million is encumbered. And that results in a net fund balance through October of roughly $51.5 million. Of that amount, we have about $28.5 million of it is committed to ongoing projects, and the remaining $23 million is uncommitted and available for other projects. Next, we would have showed the recap of our major projects. I was excited to show you this because the board took action last meeting and upped the threshold from 100,000 to 250,000, so the list shortened. We got about 10 major projects on the list now at an estimated cost of $34.4 million. No new projects were added this particular month, so it's we just really dwindled down the list a little bit and just captured those over the $250,000 mark. And then we still had one major completed project, and that was the DeLand parking lot lighting replacement project. It was completed in September of 23. It actually came in a bit under our budget. We budgeted right at 250, so I kept it on the slideshow, but what we actually spent was $104,000 on that project, so we did good as far as the some savings there. And that concludes my monthly financial report. Unless we have any questions, comments? No. Okay. Okay, moving right along, and I believe you do have this in your packet, is the payments over $50,000. This is an informational board item, and it's for both the months of September and October, so it covers 2 months.
That's on page 87, if anybody's yep. trying to find it.
You have a tab, it's tab 16 on page 87.
Okay. So that's the payments over $50,000. I believe my next item would be annual financial report, and that is on page 90 of your packet, if I'm not mistaken. Again, this is another informational item. We take it to the board a little bit early. It's unaudited financial statements at this juncture. I actually do have a small presentation that I hope to show you. A little better if we could have the visual, but I do, you know, I can go through and kind of tell the financial highlights that I had a slide on.
So Marty, why don't you go and jump to the other items, and if they get this back up, we'll come back to the presentation.
Yeah.
How about that?
Okay, so the next item was, I believe, the tuition exemptions and waivers report. This one is a report that we do each year around October, and we submit it to the state. It's already been to the state, but we must get board approval as well. I also have a short presentation just to show some five-year analysis and trend on that. But ultimately, we will need board approval on the tuition and fee waiver report.
On the five-year trend, just anything that you saw that concerned you or caught your eye that went way up or different, or is it fairly stable? It's on page 141 is the actual.
So the trend is actually has come down the last couple of years. Reason being, I think it's threefold. Number one, our enrollment has come down some, certainly during the pandemic. Number two, in a year of 2021, we had a spike, and that was mainly because of dual enrollment fee waivers. That particular year during the pandemic, the state waived the requirement to for test scores. You know, so we had an influx of students enter into our dual enrollment program during that particular time period. So you really see the spike. The graphs show it. If we could see it, and then it's come back down as the state then put it back in place, that requirement to have test scores and so forth, so SATs and all your placement test scores. And So it came back down. And then the third item, I would say, again, throughout the pandemic, we utilized a lot of the federal HERF funds for tuition assistance and emergency payments to students. So that, you know, we were utilizing that funding source rather than tapping into to fee waivers. So that brought down the pure number of fee waivers and exemptions needed. So a few things going on there. Dual enrollment, again, I got a 5-year also on that, but the big ticket item was just what I was saying about the placement, the test placement scores, the requirement there being forgiven for a year.
And these are all statutory, right? There's not a, I mean, this is just sort of a summary report of what we actually did, but
you have
to give it. I mean,
it's all in statute. It's referenced throughout the report. So, you know, in total, if I can read the report, you know, we had grand total, all exemptions and waivers was right at just over $6.4 million. And to give you a point of reference, the prior year was a little bit higher, $6.7 million. And then the year where I said about the placement scores, 2021, was $8.1 million was our all-in number. So it came down drastically there.
Okay. So Randy's any point, questions? These are statutory waivers. So it's a veteran waiver, a homeless student waiver, and the dual enrollment.
54 FTEs, yeah. A big one. Yeah.
Honorably discharged. And
yep.
Homeless.
If you guys can see the numbers. Anybody have a question about a particular number, just given the...
And I can certainly send out or have Lynn send out my presentation after the meeting.
So anybody comfortable making the motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great.
Okay, thank you. And my next item is another informational item on page 143 of your packets. It's the Daytona State College Housing Corporation audited financial statements. This was our first operational year, and it's an awful quick turnaround. You know, we do this in July, just after we close the books in June. So my staff does a tremendous job, you know, in turning this audit around and being prepared for the outside CPA firm who comes in and does their work. So proud to report that there was no, you know, we received an unmodified opinion, the best opinion you can get, no internal control weaknesses or significant deficiencies were reported. Little more of a challenge because we just had the big activity and our first full-blown operational year, so there was more to audit and more to look at, so they were on site a little bit longer, but we got through it. And another thing I'll add is that we ended the year, the Housing Corporation, when you look at it, and the net income that they earned was right at $500,000, and that's after the interest expense on the loan, the debt service payment, and depreciation on the building. So net, $500,000 to the positive in year number one of operations. And, for Daytona State College, where we were kind of in uncharted territory, for that in year one was a big win for us and makes us excited about the possibility of a phase two and onward. So that was positive news.
And Gary and I have read the report. Thanks, Gary, again, for all your involvement with the Housing Corp. And that's just informational only. So.
Yeah.
But great job to the Housing Corp from your team to get through it. So
looking for the team here that we have. I mean, they have just done a great job with it. And as you heard many times last week at the gala, we have over 1,000 people waiting for the next phase. So.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome. Thank you.
No pressure.
So, Rigo, do you have something that they have that you pull up on the screen?
No. They can look at top 20, page 165.
Okay. So if we need to, we can go to constituent presentations. And
His is a one-page motion, or two-page motion, if you want. It's on page 164. Want to walk us through it real quick?
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Board Chair Howard, trustees, president, colleagues. Agenda item 10, academic affairs, top 20, page 165. And what we are recommending is a board approval of a program
closure, optician technology, and AS degree. Since in its inception in 2019, has struggled with enrollment. So during the last 5 years, we have only graduated 19 students. We currently have only two students enrolled who are scheduled to graduate next month. And we only also have one full-time faculty who is scheduled to retire next month. And considering all those factors, what we are asking the board is to recommend the program closure, optician technology. Yes, I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion, a second. Any questions or discussion?
I have a question. What do we consider the drivers for the lack of demand in that? I remember when we brought this up originally, right, Tom? I thought we thought that there would be more of a demand.
Yeah, I think the demand to hire people are there. It's just the disconnect with students enrolling in it, finding it, you know, an interest. And once in a while this happens, you know, industry will say, you know, and partly if they hire and train on their own, they kind of, you know, short circuit our program. So I think that's what happens sometimes. They just hire people and train them. And it's happened on occasion. I remember it happened with our, we used to have a golf turf program. And, you know, all the superintendents of the golf courses were, you know, yeah, we need to hire. And there's a great demand for job for people. But they would also hire them off the street, train them. So there was no, like, you didn't need to go through our program to get the job. So it was, you know, so students weren't having to come to here. So enrollment suffered. And we ended up having to close that. So I think it's similar with this.
Just one more comment on that. I think, and it's maybe a cautionary tale for future programs when we look at it. If it leads to licensure, you know, like what you're seeing in the success of the nursing program and other programs where it leads to some type of licensure status, I think your opportunities for success are better because you've got a hook into it. You know, to
that's a good point.
You know, rather than you know, if it's just competition with the rest of the world out there, you don't differentiate yourself, and I think that puts programs at risk.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it was one of those, you know, the data jumped out as a need, but you know, there is no hook to really get them to do it, so it fell to that circumstance.
Any other questions? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
With that, that's all I have for academic affairs.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, we're at the constituent head. So do we have Gael here today? There she is. Come on up.
This thing's going to be fixed right at the end.
Of course.
Your presentation won't come up.
Is that all right, Gael? Can you?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good
appreciate
afternoon.
Your flexibility.
Yes. Good afternoon. A few updates we have is we had a successful homecoming. Thank you to everyone in the room. The students had a blast with the movie night and the s'mores. I wish I could, the presentation note there, you could see the pictures of the students having fun. But we had over 300 students attend that event. We had the ball and we had the tailgate. Board.
Could you just turn the mic to you a little bit? You know, some of us are a little bit older. We can't hear too good.
Sorry. We have SGA board is completely full. We have around 13 positions and all 13's filled, but we do need regional campuses, Nail and Aris back there. So that's still in the looks. We had the SACS visit. The SGA had a blast with helping SACS be ambassadors, touring them around campus. We are very grateful for the opportunity, so thank you again. We also had Club Rush. We had 30 clubs come out and participate and network with us. We also are working on the international cultural event. We are getting clubs to come out and just celebrate their cultures and show people what they do in their cultures as well. We're going to have food. It's in the Landing, November 16th, 6 to 8 p.m., if you guys want to come out and support. We also, because, you know, holiday season's coming up, we are working on our winter celebration for the students. We're going to do ornaments, working with the departments and the students, and they could decorate those for the Christmas tree that's going up in the student center. And that's about it.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's great that you guys participated in the SACS accreditation. I'm sure that means a lot to the accreditors and the students actively engaged. So.
Yeah, they did. They really did a great job. And like I said, the SACS group was very complimentary, even post-leaving and sending notes to our staff about what a great experience.
Yeah, great.
All right. So next for Administrative Council, we have Anaris Inman.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Without the screen being up, you can all focus on my lovely face. I appreciate that. So the last time I was before you, or the first time I was before you at the top of the academic year, I believe that I explained the Administrators Council collectively decided to convene in two types of forums throughout the year. We decided to have four formal meetings in which we conduct business and planning. And then we have four social and community engagement opportunities throughout the year as well. So during October, we had our first social and community engagement opportunity as we participated in the Trunk or Treat event. It was a great event hosted by the Falcon Hope Center. I think it's the first of its kind, and it was an amazing turnout. Special shout out to College of Arts and Sciences was there, Resource Development, of course, the Admin Council. It was really nice. And then to see our families and communities engaged, it was nice for that as well. I sent out pictures, but definitely looking forward to participating next year as it grows. Yesterday, actually, we had our second formal business meeting in which we had, for my tenure, a record-breaking 24 attendees. Now, granted, that's only our second meeting, so it's a short record. But the point is, we had 24 attendees at that meeting, and that's a big deal considering how large this council is. So I'm excited about that. Our second community, social and community engagement activity will be in December. We are planning to continue the holiday card signing that we have done in the past. And so be on the lookout for a date on your calendars for that. And then I also wanted to put on your radar the Volusia County Thanksgiving Basket Brigade. It's not an official event hosted by the Administrators Council, but I am encouraging you all to participate and spread it to your groups. It's an opportunity where your areas can come. They can donate a list of Thanksgiving items. We box them up, and we partner with the community organization to deliver them to families in the area. I've done that well before this role, and honestly, I can say that the look of thanks and gratitude that you see on our community's families' faces when you pull up, and they're like, who's that out there with that box? And you walk up to that door, you drop it off, you give them a card and a smile, and they're just eternally grateful for some of the things that we take for granted. So if you have the availability, I believe the deliveries will take place the week before Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving. So I can send out more information about that as well. And that's all I have for you. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anaris. All right. John could not be with us, but I have a short update for you that he gave me. The CA was glad to be part of the Creepy Crawl, where they were able to use their QR code for online donations to the 50-50 raffle for the first time. The popcorn machine broke, but thanks to Student Life, they and their popper popcorn could still be provided to the walkers. The next CA meeting is November 14th. And up next, we have Faculty Senate, Mr. Paul Capps.
Paul, you probably had a really good visual quiz.
I did. I was going to say, you guys know, you probably don't know the behind the scenes. I tend to just kind of come up here and talk off the top of my head. This month, I had a slide presentation ready to go, but unfortunately, things are what they are. Faculty Senate has met twice since the last time the board has met. In October, we examined some language that had been added to the Student Code of Conduct regarding artificial intelligence. It basically, in short, said that faculty, number one, have the right to use artificial intelligence to detect artificial intelligence, and also said specifically that the use of artificial intelligence by students is considered academic dishonesty unless otherwise specified in syllabus and or instructions. So like any piece of policy constructed by men and women, people, it had strengths and weaknesses. Strength was it was open enough, the language was broad enough, that it allowed faculty members to, on a case-by-case basis, determine for themselves whether the use of artificial intelligence would be permitted, maybe even required, or whether the use of artificial intelligence would be considered academic dishonesty on a course-by-course and even an assignment-by-assignment basis. That was the strength. Now, the weakness is it forces faculty to decide on a case-by-case basis in course-by-course and assignment-by-assignment whether the use of artificial intelligence is permitted, possibly required, and possibly considered academic dishonesty. So you can see our conundrum. So you could have done a little better, Dr. Rincones, but having said that, we passed the motion, that the Faculty Senate passed a motion, we support the language as written in the student handbook. Let it never be said faculty are demanding or difficult to work with. You can think it, Dr. Rincones, don't say it out loud. That means the next step, what we talked about in this month, earlier this week, is that means we, the faculty, have to start looking at our syllabi, looking at our instructions of our various assignments, and start addressing when, where, how the use of artificial intelligence will be used. And again, one of the things to be clear, we're not just kind of blanket saying you can't use it, period. If you use it, it's cheating. That's not where we're going, because that's not where education is going, and it's not where our world is going, right? Artificial, like so many, intelligence, like so many things, is going to be a tool that individuals are going to use in the workplace. So in some certain instances, it's going to be a tool that we're going to allow our students, we're going to instruct our students, we're going to expect our students to use appropriately. So that's where we are. Other than that, we are, again, we're in the middle of our own fundraising. We're having a 50-50 raffle and raising money, again, for our scholarship fund. More accurately, the Faculty Senate Student Award Fund. And those awards, again, will be presented at the at the awards convocation in the spring. We're also in the middle of putting together our nominations for faculty emeritus to bring to senior staff in the spring for their approval or non-approval of. Okay. That will conclude my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And, we had our own, very own Dean Cheryl Cohen, Dr. Cohen, and Rich Valero, our chair of our English department, in what's the magazine's name? That's Evolve, thank you. Evolve magazine. We're interviewed in an article on artificial intelligence and the role it will play in higher ed. And I think, and I've talked to Rich Valero and you know, his perspective, as you know, Paul mentioned, you know, it's a, if we consider it a tool and how do we use it as a tool, that will just prepare our graduates for the real world and what's coming out in the future. So, I think it's here to stay. No turning back. So, I think it's a good approach, and looking forward to the good work that you all do. And last but never least, professional counsel Gina Clark.
Good afternoon. So we've had a busy month since we've been here last. We also participated in the tailgating party, which we had a great time doing that, and we volunteered to help with the 5K. And then we had the trunk or treat, which was a treat. We had a great time, didn't we, Anaris? That was fun. It was definitely just very engaging to see the children, the communities, you know, the people of our community come and take part of it. And Anaris and I, we were talking there that it would be wonderful to see that grow and do more events like that where we bring the community in. We enjoyed that. Then the very next day, we did the creepy crawl. And we offered waters out and stamped their cards, and it was a lot of participation from the professional council, more than I've seen. Like last year at the Creepy Crawl, it was only Billy Joe and myself. And this time we had like five or six people come out and help, so that was wonderful. We are also currently in having a penny war. It is a fundraiser. We have about six different departments that are participating, and the proceeds to that are going to the Basket Brigade, and we are hoping that we will be able to provide the boxes to our students in need, and we've been working with the Falcon Hope Center about that. So that's where we're at. Our next meeting is next Thursday, and that's when the penny war ends, and then we'll get all of those baskets together. So
great. Thank you.
Thank you. And that concludes the constituent report.
Excellent, great.
Yeah.
Just a few comments from me. First off, thanks everybody for their flexibility that had presentations. You guys did a great job reacting on the fly. I know sometimes that's that can be intimidating, so I appreciate everybody that presented, and I think it didn't hurt the meeting at all. So, Air Force guy, they always say flexibility is the key to air power. So we were flexible today, right?
In the Army, it's adapt and overcome.
Okay.
Hey. Spirit of Veterans. Spirit of Veterans Day.
Yeah, a whole lot of great things going on. I really liked hearing the comment you just made about the nursing pass rate. That's amazing. You know, we always, as a board, do so much to focus on affordability, and I think as an institution, we've done a great job of that, and we always will continue to focus on that, but equally important is the quality of the degrees and the education and what separates us from all of the other institutions that students can choose. And boy, that's a great indicator right there of a program that's hitting on all cylinders. So congratulations to everybody that was involved in that. Really enjoyed the workshop today. Getting a chance to see the reveal party for the women's volleyball national championship and Daytona State, first time in ever, and that was exciting to see. And we had a chance to walk over and see the team right after they found out, and just seeing their faces and the excitement on it was made it a great day. So enjoyed that. You know what? I noticed that, and I should have kept count, but maybe almost every coach we met with talked more about academics than they did sports, and that's. That's great to see. They, you know, hearing them talk about their team GPA and, you know, what it was, and that the fact they wanted to make it even higher. I truly appreciate that as a board member, that they are indeed student athletes, and it's great. I know they've had amazing success on the field and the courts and the pitch, but it's nice to see the huge emphasis on academics too. So I appreciated that. Great event. The events, the Boots and Bling, Chef, Tim, everybody did a great job. It was nice to see several of the trustees there, and just how many people came out and supported. And the stories were great about the residence hall. I really enjoyed that theme and what it meant to the students that were living in there. So with that, thanks everybody for coming. I appreciate it. And I'm going to turn it over to Bob.
Thank you. I'm going to second the comments from Chairman Howard. Great meeting, and obviously appreciate all the good work that's being done here on this campus. And I would also like to segue into, you know, a discussion on this AI issue, and I'll take my time really to comment on that. I had the privilege of teaching a course in August at my alma mater at the University of Florida at the College of Law, and it was on AI and its impact on the practice of law and risk management and insurance particularly. But in talking about it, it made me reflect a little bit about the advent of the internet. So when I got out of law school, there was no internet in common use. And So we sort of were in the fledgling stages of figuring out how to research and write without the use of the internet. And along came the internet. And, you know, when we talked to attorneys at that time, when there were search tools available on the internet for legal research, it quickly became apparent that not only should you use those research tools, you had to use those research tools. And it would be malpractice not to use those research tools that were available to you. And I think when now that we're at the advent of kind of a new turning point in technology with AI, I think we're going to find the same thing, that in learning and in education, AI is not only going to be there as, you know, a possibility, it's going to be mandatory. So, you know, I think about that a little bit, you know, and reflect back on life before the internet. You know, as these technologies continue to evolve, and they will, and as AI continues to develop, and it will, it'll be part of everything that we are doing now in education and in business. I think it's going to be an absolute must. So we have to figure out how to use it effectively and responsibly. But it is here, and it's here to stay, and it's going to evolve. And I would encourage you to think about it the same way. That is not something to be avoided, but something to be embraced and used as a tool. So onward and upward, and go Falcons.
Randy?
So it's interesting, the conversation about AI. It's, you know, we've had AI in cars for years and years, and you don't really feel it quite the same because it's just something that you do every day. And I think eventually that's the way we'll feel about this in our everyday lives. It's not long. There's self-driving cars. That's all AI. Headlights, you know, adaptive cruise control, crash avoidance, automatic braking, lane changing, all those things are AI. But you know, not sure I'm a big fan, but it is what it is. I do want to say congratulations on all of the accreditation effort, SACS, but I want to also thank the team because we went at this, I felt like, in the interview process. I was very confident in the interview process. I think we were so well prepared that it was a foregone conclusion. I think the outcome was never in doubt, was never a question. I was thoroughly, and as the questions were coming up, I just felt like, wow, we were ready. And so I certainly congratulations on the outcome, but from participating in the process, I thought it was extraordinary. So well done, and go Falcons.
At the last meeting, I think I told all the folks here that you're going to do well, SACS Sox. I know I said that. We can go back to the recording. We'll find it. But it's a tremendous job that you and your team undertook, and you came out smelling like roses. And I forecast that that would happen. And I'm so proud of this college and how they do it. Because I remember 10 years ago, we went through the same thing. And there was a few little things or whatever. And this time, you all says, no way. You're going to leave here and see that we are the best in the nation when it comes to doing these types of surveys, inspections, or whatever. So a tremendous job. And I can't say enough for you, Mr. President, and the folks that work for you, because I guess it just all came out. So thanks for the job that you all did with that. And you won't have to see them again for 10 years, right. You know, which is good. The tour bring back memories of me going into the gym to watch volleyball, basketball, the soccer field. unfortunately, this year, you know, after having my surgery and whatever, I'm still trying to mend myself and especially to put some weight back on. But I want to be here for the future. I know basketball is just starting. I will have my favorite seat behind the guys that are, you know, calling the game or whatever. So it was wonderful. And to see that we were in here for the ladies' volleyball team getting selected to go to the national, it was tremendous. And to see the look on their face, I think they expected it. You know, just looking at them that, hey, we're good, we should be there, and they're there, and I only wish them the best. But thanks for a wonderful day, and thanks again for kicking sex out of here and telling them goodbye. See you in 10 years.
And
go Falcons.
Kelly?
Well, I'm going to be the fifth to say some of the same things, but the sex COC is just an incredible outcome with no findings, and Compass being a best practice that, you know, they're going to take out into the world. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So congratulations to everyone involved there. The boots and bling, I had a blast in the food. I'm still talking about the food to my family. I think it's the best event in town all year long, so hats off to you all. I also enjoyed celebrating in the dorm, of course, there that evening, and Will, I don't know if he's still here, in his 30 years with the college, which led into today's tour and getting to see all the different facilities and the coaches, and everyone's of the same frame of mind, like we've talked about. You know, they're students first, or student athletes truly, and they're all real proud to be here, and they're all working hard, and it's just, it's kind of everything you want it to be in that program. And then, of course, to the Lead Academy, congratulations to all of you. It's neat to not just see the students, but to see the staff growing and learning. And finally, I'm gonna end with our nurses, 99.1%. Wow! So, congratulations. And go Falcons.
That, add to that, that stat is 99.1% while we're growing the program.
Right.
Which is not easy to do.
Right. Yeah.
So hats off to the nursing faculty and staff.
Yeah, indeed.
Ditto. Yeah, it was funny as Randy started talking about the coaches, and I just written that down, and then all of a sudden I was like, "You looking over my shoulder here?"
Yeah.
But no, the tour of the athletic facilities was awesome. Thank you, Tom, for orchestrating that, and like you said, the emphasis on the coaches about academic success. And to your point about Will, I think that is a function of Will's leadership also, you know, in terms of what he does day in, day out, and watching him over these last, gosh, now I'm almost at 10 years, you know, serving on this board. And yeah, I know it exactly. Compared to Lloyd, I'm the rookie here. But it's just amazing how we've grown the athletics of our college, but also both women and men, but also the quality of it is just never stops amazing me in terms of the depth of that. The nursing pass rates, amazing. And then the gala. And I'm so glad that you recognized Will at that event. And I'm trying to remember her name also.
Cindy.
You know, the way you recognize Will and Cindy, you know, at that event with 35 years of service. I mean, that's incredible in and of itself. And just the way that program, and, of course, Chef Costa, never ceases to amaze. And going back to the nurses, like Lloyd, like Tom, I got to experience it firsthand myself this year and seeing the quality of our nurses and the way they are at many of our hospitals here in our community. So it was great. And even when the one nurse was taking care of me, I said, well, you've seen me on the wall when you're walking through the hallway. I just look a lot different than right now than this that gown than the way you see me. But it was great to see that. So. Thank you, Tom, and to everybody the staff, and everybody for what you do day in, day out to make this college so great. And go Falcons.
I'm just thinking that maybe for the other board members that want to meet the nurses but don't want to go into the hospital.
There's another way
to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now.
Let's do that now. Yeah, yeah, with you.
Come up with another way to do that.
Something else, Tom.
One quick, I forgot. We entered the first ever cybersecurity competition in the state, and we won. And not only did we win, we broke, there's like a cybersecurity standard on how quickly you can finish this competition, and we broke that record. Nice. First time.
Wow.
Out. So kudos.
Look out.
As, you know, again, it's to your point of quality, you know, and I, in athletics, I emphasize we can have both. And I do interview head coaches, because if you look at the duties in the statute of a president in Florida, athletics is a responsibility in statute, believe it or not. But I always tell the head coaches, I said, you know, you'll never see me, you never have to come see me in your office about your win-loss record. But you may have to come see me on your retention and graduation rates. So that's what's important, you know. I mean, I'm as competitive as the next one. But you can do both. And we've proven to do both. So it's not one or the other. And we're not going to, you know, we're not going to use student athletes. We're not going to use the athletes, as you see, unfortunately, at some programs where rosters change season after season. Or if it's a fall, you know, winter sport, different roster from the fall and in the winter, because they use their talent and move them on. You know, we want them to cross stage. So that's, you know, and that's been my philosophy, but Will's been here longer, and it's been Will's philosophy. So Will Dunn has established that culture here way before I got here. So it was good that he was recognized for that event. And then we have at your desk the core performance indicators. Which was going to be the initial workshop, but we thought, you know, feedback is the enjoyment of going around campus and checking out programs, but certainly read through this at your leisure. You know, I haven't actually had a chance to look at it. It's hot off the presses. Well, I guess it was updated in 8-8, so I'm a little late looking at it. But, you know, there's always good things and always areas where we can zoom in and do better. So thank you for that.
Thank you. But last that, minute. Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. Thank a veteran this Saturday, and
yes,
we'll see you guys back at our next meeting.
So,
how you been doing, Randy?
Good. Busy.